stand by while NCLA cuts through the noise to signal abuse of administrative power. This is Administrative Static with Mark Chenoweth and John Vecchione.
Welcome to Administrative Static. Mark and I are pleased to report that we have petitioned for certiorari in Shangizi versus Health and Human Services.
Three cases aren't enough
for
one term, John.
Exactly. This case, you may remember, we were before the Supreme Court in Murphy v. Missouri just a few weeks ago. March 18th. Geez, really?
Yeah, I know. It seems like a long time ago, but it was just last week.
So in any event, that case was up on a preliminary injunction and had made it, it survived a motion to dismiss in the Fifth Circuit, and an injunction was put in showing likely success on the merits. But our case of Shangizi, our clients are Mark Shangizi, Michael Sanger, and Daniel Coatson. And pretty much the same type of allegation was made in Ohio in the Sixth Circuit. And the district court dismissed the case saying that there was no standing, primarily from a traceability question that shouldn't have even been decided in a motion to dismiss with the allegations that we had. And so the Sixth Circuit had affirmed that. And one of the interesting things, Mark, I think about this is that the Murphy Fifth Circuit affirmance, only modifying the injunction a little bit, had come out before the Sixth Circuit. So we immediately let them know about it. And I think it's like 3 days later, I'd have to check. But very, very quickly, their opinion came out in the Sixth Circuit. And they drop a footnote saying, well, that's totally different because there are no individual plaintiffs in Murphy, which is completely crazy.
Well, it misses the fact that there are, in fact, five individual plaintiffs of whom we represent four.
Right. And they didn't take we asked for a hearing en banc. Nope. Sorry.
But the good news for us is that means there's a circuit split.
Exactly.
On whether or not they're standing.
Exactly. So we have moved to either have the case held on what happens in Murphy, but also I think the court should look at what do you have to plead for these type of cases, because it does seem that the government is hell bent on doing this to people. There's no, as was asked in the Murphy case, is this case moot? And the Solicitor General said without hesitation, no. He didn't elaborate. He didn't do anything. But it's clear that not only there, but everywhere, the government believes itself entitled to pressure all these social media companies to take down speech they don't like on a myriad of subjects. This one was on vaccines and COVID our clients in Shangizi said, look, we were downgraded and blocked and thrown off these social media networks, not because they wanted to, but because the government pressured them. And one of the things that ran through the Shangizi case was that there was no discovery and we only knew it was on the public record. And we had alleged that we're pretty sure this all started long before Jen Psaki said, we're doing this. So, and he said, well, maybe plausible. You really haven't alleged. Well,
the court said there was a timeline problem because the things that we specifically alleged occurred at a later point in time. But we alleged that things had occurred earlier than that based on information and belief and
which is all you have to do. In
natural inferences from what was said about things that they were already doing that had to have started sooner.
Exactly. And then we said, look, you can take judicial notice that we know it happened sooner now, just so that you know this isn't some, these allegations are well considered here. And it's not only plausible, they happened. and none of that was taken into account. And the case was dismissed. And the Supreme Court is looking at a similar instance. You know, I'm pretty sure that we got a call from Louisiana and Missouri if we wanted to join their suit because they read the Changizi complaint. So it's not like the allegations are different from those. I mean, they'd seen this and they have similar allegations. They just later filed. And so it can't be that these type of allegations are alive in some circuits and dead in other circuits for strange reasons. I don't know if the court didn't want to get into it or if it really felt that, oh, as long as there's a cutout, as long as there's a third-party cutout you can blame. And Kagan's questions really came down to this. This idea that if there's a third party, we're not going to let you allege that their actions are somebody else's responsibility. Well, we do this all the time. We have alter ego cases, right? Let's say the government wasn't involved at all. You say that one corporation is really the actions of another ownership corporation or another cutout that owns it or controls it in some way. And these type of complaints are relatively common. I don't see them every day, but I've certainly filed them and I've seen them filed. So why would it be that when the government, which has all this power, regulatory power, control over corporations in many, many ways, that it's somehow not plausible that they were doing something behind the scenes that A, the government didn't want you to know, and B, the social media companies don't want you to know. They don't want you thinking that your speech is being regulated by the government. They want you to think that they have clear guidelines of what they allow and don't allow, and they exercise that discretion and that editorship, I'll call it, in a just and neutral manner. Now, I don't know if that's true before the government gets involved, but I know it's not true after the government gets involved. So I hope that the court takes a look at this. And I just don't know when they will take a look at it. You know, the clerks will get it. The government obviously is going to either oppose or just do nothing, right? We won't know for 30 days.
That's right. Yeah, they'll either oppose or they'll waive their right to respond, which happens sometimes. We just had that happen in another one of our cases. It's sort of a back of the hand. This is so beneath our response that we don't even need to reply to it. The Rhode Island College attempted that in the Faulkner v. Nazarian case, and at least one justice said, no, why don't you go ahead and respond to that? And so there was a response. Cert was ultimately denied, and then it was just done again in a different case that we had filed cert in. I don't think
Norris.
Was it Norris? Did they waive their response? Michigan State University waived its response in Norris. So we'll see if a justice calls for a response there. Hopefully we'll have some amicus briefs come in there and maybe Michigan State will have second thoughts about whether it should have filed a response. But I suspect there may be a request for a response there, too.
You know, I the only time, you know, here we try to get these cases before the Supreme Court, but I spent my life trying to keep things out of the Supreme Court. The only time I've ever waived my response to a petition for cert, I was like, I gave the back of the hand, I gave the wave, and darn if they didn't ask for a brief, which is not a good day when you're a private plaintiff, you know, and you're like trying to keep your judgment, and they say, no, we want you to respond.
Right.
So
right.
Anyways, I wonder if the government gets that same feeling. But I think here it's probably, you don't like to make predictions, but it's probably going to be held no matter what.
I think the government will respond because I think that they'll respond within 30 days and they'll use this brief as an opportunity to explain why there isn't standing in Murthy and there isn't standing in Changizi. And they'll view it as a sort of a post-oral argument brief opportunity. That's what I think is going to happen. I don't think they'll waive it here, but we'll see.
Yeah, and that's dangerous as well. I mean, the fact that we have another set of plaintiffs, private plaintiffs, who this happened to on the same subjects is I think more evidence and more reason why the Murthy case has to be upheld. So either, you know,
any risk that this sort of has the opening the floodgates sort of feeling for the court that wait a minute, this isn't a one off. There's lots of people that are going to get to sue if we find standing here.
I don't think so, because here's the thing. This is a First Amendment case. One of the things that hasn't changed is that this is a pretty pro First Amendment Supreme Court. I think I've brought this up before on this program, but the questions the Supreme Court asked, I noticed that on standing, none of the six Republican appointees really asked a standing question, except Alito, who said if only one of them has a standing, don't they? And on the merits,
And he asked that same question, by the way, if I remember correctly, in the student loan cases,
yep.
And then they found standing in there. So it's somewhat indicative.
And on the merits, they were asking questions at the far fringes of what the government might do. And our view is you can't say or else. But, whatever they think, it wasn't like they were saying – they didn't give us any questions on the other side about, the only one who did was Barrett, who said, well, what if the social media company voluntarily says to the government, why don't you take over our moderating duties and we'll just do whatever you want? And the SG of the United States said, no, that would be wrong. We can't do that. That is kind of what happened here, very close to it. So I think on the merits, they're worried about the injunction there.
But they don't even have to get into the merits in Jack Easy. This is only about standing.
Right.
And as John just indicated, we don't think the court's going to not find standing in Murthy. And once they find standing for the individual plaintiffs in Murthy, and I suppose it's possible they could find standing for the states and not the individual plaintiffs. That's not the direction the questioning went at all. And if they find standing for the individual plaintiffs there, it's really hard to see why they wouldn't grant vacate and remand in Changizi unless they want to say more about standing, and then they might grant cert. But I would think that they would at least see clear to give a second shot here.
Yeah, I think so as well. So we'll let you know. We may have to talk about this on the same day we talk about Murthy, though.
It could be.
And we'll be right back.